Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, there's a new survey out that shows, it's hard to believe this, 70% of Americans think the nation might be headed towards civil war. You think they know what a civil war is? That's not just a slap fest or, you know, posting ugly comments on Facebook. That means we're killing each other, physically attacking and killing each other. Dr. John Huber is a clinical psychologist. He joins us now to talk through how it has gotten to this point. Does that number surprise you, Dr. Huber?
Well, I think in a lot of ways it should surprise us, but I don't think knowing what's behind this that it really is a shock. And one of the things that's behind this is this whole triggering effect that political correctness has created. You know, this country was founded on discourse and the ability to communicate and share ideas that may be totally opposing to each other, and working through and finding common ground and going forward with that. What's happened with the advent of social media, the ability to block people who don't think exactly like you think, the false premise that everybody around you thinks exactly like you do because now there's no dissenting voices in your media world, the algorithms that are included in social media apps that start saying, hey, they want to hear more and more of what they believe, so we're going to cut out stuff they don't believe. You compound that with, you know, a lack of coping mechanisms, a lack of coping skills that the younger generations have not been taught. And all of a sudden, they think if you don't believe everything they believe, that you are extremely off on some kind of fringe thing and that you deserve to face the consequences of something like a civil war, which most of them, unfortunately, you know, have been failed by the public education to really understand what that means. So I think there's a lot of things going on there.
Yeah. There's definitely been a shift. I mean, I remember growing up in the United States and hearing regularly, I don't like what this person has to say, but I'll fight to the death to allow them to say it. That seemed to be the mantra on the Donahue show, you know, which I'd watch when I was homesick from school. And you'd hear that in the discussions that would happen in, you know, history class. That phrase, that philosophy seems to have been swept from the public sphere in many ways.
You don't hear that in the classroom anymore. It's not so prominent in the textbooks that they're using in our high schools. And I think if you really want to look for where I think the next true civil war may actually happen is go look at what's happening in Hong Kong, and the people are standing up and creating a democratic party there to have democracy in their country after having it once when they were controlled by Britain. And now being turned over back to communist China, they're starting to stand up. And I have heard rumblings all the way through to Taiwan that this may be something that's evident. I think our population could learn a little bit from that fight.
Yeah, let's hope they're paying attention to it. I also wonder whether the interest in socialism has something to do with this. You know, the premise of socialism is that we're all in this together. So whether you get up every morning and go to work and you study and you take care of yourself and don't do drugs, you have the same obligation as somebody who does everything wrong and knows they're doing everything wrong. In fact, you're going to have to carry them and they're not responsible for their own behavior. You now have an obligation to take care of people that have deliberately screwed up their lives. And I suspect, I mean, I feel a resentment about that since I get up at 3 o'clock every morning to do this show. It kind of ticks me off when I'm faced with the prospect of paying more in taxes for folks who don't bother to get up at noon, you know?
Or or the 18 years of education I got after high school to get to where I'm at. I totally get that. And unfortunately, they don't get that. The younger generations. And I sit back. I have kids in high school right now, and they come in and tell me stories of what their teachers are trying to teach them. And I'm floored. You know, they're not talking about this. They're talking about what they call some sort of a democratic socialism. And you know, now they quit talking about Venezuela. But at first they were pushing Venezuela a few years ago. And now
it was a success story, they said.
Yes, exactly. And all the actors and public figures who are down there helping that democratic socialism get passed. Mm-hmm. And now you don't hear anything about it. And the reason why is over 50% of the people no longer have running water. Over 50% of the people have no electricity. There are no pets around because people have taken their neighbor's pets and used them for food because there's no food in the grocery stores.
Yeah. And, well, this is unfair for me to do in our last minute. But is there a solution to this? I struggle with this on the radio. I don't want to be the guy who comes on and is just really ugly and nasty and mean every morning. I'd like to offer some sort of outstretched hand to people to bring them to my philosophy. But it doesn't seem like that effort is meeting with a great deal of success these days. Do you see a path forward?
Well, I think a couple of things. I think, first of all, I think capitalism is the way to educate because, you know, the schools didn't do it. So let's put them in the real world. I think a lot of these kids have no coping skills because they've been sheltered with lawnmower parents who keeping them from ever facing any kind of, you know, adversity. Mm-hmm. And I have to remind myself, you know, this whole thing started in 2007 with the invention of smartphones. It's only been 12 years. And you think about how much it changed just in the first 6 months of that. And then we had decades to learn to manage and control television. And I go back to my mantra that we survived Elvis. We will survive this. We're a resilient species, and we will overcome.
All right. Well, we'll end on something positive. Dr. John Huber, a clinical psychologist we go to for some insight on a regular basis. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.